live from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, today is going to be, I'll do it third person, Cofield at worst. I'm telling you, I was so distracted this morning. Now, in the end, I wound up putting together, I think the longest rundown we've ever had is like 58 pages. It all started last night, and I'll tell you that Danny's here from the morning show. Danny's going to be serving as the company today. Griffin is here as well. Danny, what's going on, buddy?
Not a whole lot. I appreciate you inviting me on yesterday.
Another dead day in sports, and otherwise, not really. But for me, it all started last night because I track social media and I look at the conversations on Twitter and TikTok and other places. And last night was another one of those nights where like it was getting really crazy around Caitlin Clark related stuff, like all that Stephen A. video being real demonstrative with women. More about the Olympic team snub. Then I saw the wave of Hurley not going to the Laker reaction, and Laker Nation was freaking flipping out. Media people had takes on it. Lakers being called cheap, having no plan. And I was stirred up. And then we get the news today. I mean, what a bummer of a week. So the Lakers flop on getting a head coach. So you have no head coach right now. Caitlin Clark, for some reason, is not going to be on the Olympic team. We'll go through that again because now there's more comments. The women on and around the national team have doubled and tripled down. And then we find out that the greatest athlete in American history in terms of domination is now in a contract squabble with these – I like the guys, so I'm not going to call them scumbags. But that Joey Chestnut could be out of our favorite event. And honestly, I could do 3 hours on Caitlin Clark. I could do 3 hours here. And I'm sure Danny at some point would be like, stop, I tap out. 3 hours on the hot dog stuff, the Lakers stuff. It's crazy, man. It's crazy.
And to think it's only Tuesday.
Dude, it's every day. Every day the sports world gets crazier and crazier. We got basketball coming back tomorrow, the NBA. And I know there's a lot of people out there like, talk about games! If that's what you wanted to talk about, then we would. But I don't see it. I don't see it on TV. I don't hear it on radio. I don't see clicks. I mean, obviously, we have a way to monitor what goes on, you know, at the newspaper. They show what's most popular. And you know, the other one, by the way, I want to give everyone a heads up. We have a giveaway coming up right around 3:30. Lakers are coming to town. Who knows who the head coach is going to be. But Lakers will be in Vegas, as they are every year, at T-Mobile in recent times. They'll be playing the Warriors. So that'll be cool. That's on October 15th. You can get your tickets right now at AXS.com, but sometime in the next half hour, we'll be giving away tickets. But, you know, all of that said, I got to come in and do a quick examination here. So one of our most popular teams in this market, Danny, are the Golden Knights.
Yes, absolutely.
Homegrown. They won. They've been winning, so that helps a lot. There's a good niche and casual fan following for the Golden Knights. The Golden Knights have been good for the NHL. Now, yes. Remember I said that. Remember I said that when I draw parallels of the NHL to the WNBA. Just remember I said that. So we got another game last night. You got a Canadian team in there with a chance to win the first Stanley Cup for Canada since 93. The Panthers go out and take a, I don't know, is it a commanding lead?
I would say so at this point.
Because game one was not a commanding victory.
No. But yesterday, I was amazed at how much Florida was able to limit Edmonton's shooting abilities. The broadcast said that they tied a record for least amount of shots on goal through two periods of a game with 7. And on top of that, going back to game one, they tied least amount of shots over the course of 3 periods with just 14. That is absolutely amazing to be able to limit that high-powered offense to very little shooting, if any. I think in the first period they had, what, 4?
And you think this is going to continue? Come on, dude.
It won't continue like this.
These things flip. I want to make the case later for the Mavs. These things flip. How long is this trip again? Is it like 4,000 miles?
Yeah, it's like the longest ever between two teams.
It is. Until Pac-12
yes.
football and basketball begins, which I've already seen those shots taken at a certain school in New Jersey. But the travel should change things. Should it not? The home ice is not going to matter?
I think it'll matter to an extent, but I do think that Florida is the better team. And, I mean, Oilers could take one of the two. I don't think they'll take both. I don't think they'll rebound and take both home games.
Is this matchup perfect? Because this, to me, stylistically, is one of those great finals where it's like, hey, you've got all this dynamic speed, and especially on the power play against kind of the team that's skilled but also really rough and physical. And we saw last year, and we argued about this a lot in Cofield and Company, that, yes, the Panthers came kind of limping in, and then the Knights, who were also physical but fast, but broke them in half.
Yes.
So this is the ultimate matchup. It's almost like a boxing, right? Where you get the power puncher against a precision guy, right? So in this case, you got high scoring and speed and awesome power play against the physical team. And to this point, between Bob and physicality, they're ahead. I don't think they dominated in game one, but they're ahead. Why can't pace be dictated by the Oilers and they can get in a series where they're playing their sort of game?
I mean, they absolutely could. However, I just think Florida right now, with the way that they've played and the way they've been playing, strong on defense, Bobrovsky, I mean, at this point, he's got to be Conn Smythe winner, right? If Florida continues to play and wins the Stanley Cup, I don't know if you can give it to any of the skaters. He's playing really well. I mean, the goal that he gave up last night was a really bad goal. He's got to stop that, but I still think he's playing really well.
I'm trying to build it, man.
I know.
You're trying to build it, right?
Yeah.
Trying to help out Gary Bettman, who I don't think can help himself. That's the problem. And as I walked in the building, I'm like, why am I looking at the sport the same as it was some 30 years ago when I was doing sports talk radio? I don't get what's happened over 30 years. I'm going to give you the headlines today, right? These are ESPN headlines who basically have a contract with everyone, vested interest in almost every sport. Top headlines. Porzingis, rare injury. Rahm, out of the U.S. Open. Luka, pain-killing shot before game two. Burrow, mental issues. Chestnut, out of the hot dog eating contest. Kelsey saying he's going to play forever until the wheels fall off. Just saw this one. Fantasy burn! Phillies star Real Muto, knee surgery. Jets quarterback Rodgers, Reddick, not at minicamp. What the F?
Yeah, that was, what, 9, 10 headlines?
And by the way, it doesn't even include a Caitlin-related headline. Where's the NHL?
Pretty far.
Is this still happening?
You would think with the hype around Connor McDavid that he would be somewhere near the top, maybe top five, not necessarily one or two, but they did just play last night. It's got to be fresh in everyone's mind.
And the excuse is out the window, because the excuse used to be for hockey fans, well, we're on NBC this and we're on something else. You're with Disney ESPN.
Yep.
They have a vested interest. I don't understand how this is whiffed upon. Locally, it's good.
Yes.
Locally, it is good. They're selling tickets. They're still hot as a pistol. There's going to be talk about the Knights. I know you guys talk about them a lot in the offseason on the morning show, on Tyler's show. I just don't understand why we're still here. I also don't understand why. Well, I know why. They can't even match the buzz today from the hot dog contest. Now, Jesus, I'm not objective. I love the hot dog contest like no other sports radio personality in the country. We are the only sports radio show on terrestrial that has done multiple hot dog eating pregame shows. We've been out there in town somewhere on location, rotting up over the contest and then doing post. We love this. This is taking headlines. Caitlin Clark on like six different levels is taking headlines. I don't get it. On your show. I don't get to listen a lot. I hear promos. So I don't know if you make the – I hear soccer promos.
Mm-hmm.
Is soccer more popular on your show than the Knights and the NHL?
No.
Okay.
No, we only talk soccer whenever there's big events or something of note happens.
Okay. All right. So it has a place on your show.
It has a place, but I would definitely say hockey's higher up on that place.
Than competitive eating.
Oh, absolutely.
That was a joke. That was sarcasm. Then the Aces?
Yes.
Okay. By the way, we are going to break down the Aces later on. We might want to load up some Elle Duncan. Remember last week when she was just effing exhausted because no one talks about angles? I got a lot of angles on WNBA today. But, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not going to break without mentioning the hot dog eating contest because I think this is such a – it's a much bigger story than you realize, and it's interconnected to other stories in sports. So for folks who didn't see it, Joey Chestnut, who's won 8 in a row and 16 overall, it's a fun event. I don't have to get into our love of competitive eating because I do believe you have to be an athlete. These are people who train. We're friends with former local Mickey Sudo, who's won like 100 of the women's titles in a row. And by the way, I mentioned Chestnut's the greatest athlete in the history of the United States. Mickey's right there with him. Like, no one is even competitive with Mickey. And later on, I will suggest, I think Mickey should walk too. But Joey Chestnut's been dominant, right? So 100%. We get a report like 3 hours ago. I believe it right now. I believe this is where they are. I think they were at 200K for an appearance fee for Joey Chestnut, which people out there are like, my God, just eat hot dogs and be all gross. Do you know how big that TV show is? He's on a TV show. Do you get worked up when you find out, I don't know, Mike and Abishola, was it Bob and Abishola? Like they, $14 million an episode, whatever they make. They probably make $1 million an episode. That's still, it's a TV show.
Yeah.
He is the star of a TV show. And by the way, they didn't pay him anything at the beginning. The prize was like $10,000. You get the stupid mustard belt. The guy does the rounds for a couple of weeks. It's a pretty big viewed TV show.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, in brilliant fashion. I don't know all the details on this yet, but listen, everyone's trying to come up with meat alternatives, which with the hot dog, it's very interesting because the hot dog really is like, I don't want to rip on hot dogs. I love them. I love every kind, but it really is kind of just like all the scraps put together in a tube steak. It's a beautiful thing, and it's an American tradition. Is it the most healthy thing? No. Are you supposed to eat 50 to 70 in 10 minutes? Probably not good for you. So now they have veggie dogs. So I'm sure International Foods is like, what a freaking coup it would be. We want to kill the veggie dog market. Let's get the hot dog guy. And I guarantee they paid him like a real pitch man. And real pitch people, like if you watch TV, I don't know how much you watch in terms of commercials. Like I watch a lot of commercials because I'm usually texting. I'm doing other stuff. I'm looking at social media. So I don't mind watching commercials. And you see there's like 7 or 8 big stars, right?
Yeah.
Flo, who's the freaking disaster guy, used to be on, whatever shows he's been on, Law and Order, what's it, Mayhem, right? Mayhem.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, the same, right?
The guys car accident guy.
Yep, the guys who used to be with Sonic, the two of them, now they're out. But these people make millions of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
Big stars make a lot of money. I'm trying to think of one where I was like, I cannot believe this person's doing a commercial. But whatever, they're paid a lot. I'm sure Joey Chestnut got a great deal. And what a move by International Foods. Well, the way this Major League Eating has been set up, they're obviously, it's a business first and foremost. It's not about athletics. They want to make money. And it turns out they have an exclusive. Like, if you eat in the contest, then you are exclusive to Nathan's. You want to do something outside of Nathan's and not pitch their beef dog? We got trouble. And that's where we are right now. So, just to illustrate, they offered the hot dog eating champion, what was the numbers? Was it 4 years and $1.2 million?
Yeah.
They offered him $300,000 a year. And he's like, no. Not going to be exclusive.
Good on him.
Yep. So they know he's worth a lot, but now over money, they're like, nope.
Oh, absolutely. In name alone, he's worth a ton.
Yep.
And what they're probably not realizing is also by doing this, they are making more people who may not have known more aware of meat substitutes.
This is a real fight. I don't want to go too serious today because I will down the road. I've always believed that those guys are making money hand or fist. They don't pay the eaters, who, by the way, are putting themselves at jeopardy, future jeopardy. Kobayashi just retired. We were heartbroken to find out that, like, 2 weeks ago he retired. He's like, I have no hunger. I've ruined my body.
I wonder what that did to him as far as, like, medical stuff.
Well, that's what he's saying. He's got medical issues. He can't competitive eat anymore.
But I'm curious, like, what those issues were, because with how, like, I remember there was a show on MTV. I think it was called True Life.
Yep.
And they went, they followed him.
Like, and it was in Japan, right?
Yeah.
Where they're like, I have to eat this. If the owner of a restaurant comes out and gives me something, I cannot insult them by not eating what they offer.
Yeah.
And it was the hottest noodles ever. The guy's on death's doorstep, but he's like, I got to be respectful.
Yeah, I saw that, and I was like, I'll never forget that. I was like, man, that is, on top of being
able, I'll never forget it.
On top of being able to eat all that, it's very impressive, but that also shows you, like, the level of respect, too, that he also has for the people who make the food.
They make money. You know, it's a barnstorming, but it's organized. They make a few thousand dollars here and there, each of the events. There's hundreds of people doing this around the country, if not thousands. So you kind of know the risk you're taking, but the competitors have never really shared in all the profits or a lot of the profits. And if you've listened to Cofield and Company over the years, you know, I don't care if it's millionaires against billionaires. In this case, it's probably 10,000 heirs against or thousands heirs against, you know, millionaires. I'm always going to be on the side of labor. I'm always going to be on the side of the athlete. And I've been on the side. I think these guys cheat. Kobayashi is basically the same thing. Kobayashi has not eaten competitively with these guys in this contest, which we should have had. Basically, it would have been like Mayweather Pacquiao 16 times.
Mm-hmm.
But over money, they're like, nope, got to be exclusive. So the ugly head that people haven't really paid attention to, the Japanese superstar guy, because they just kind of forgot about him because he got replaced. But the best competition for Chestnut has been wiping people off the floor.
Yeah.
Right. And going into this contest a month ago, the odds came out. I'm going to start going fast. But he was a minus 2,000 favorite because Kobayashi's not in it. And they made a choice. They're like, yeah, we got our guy. You know what? Screw Kobayashi. He doesn't want to follow our rules. He's out. So now they're doing the same thing to Chestnut. I hope this blows up. I hope it blows up. But here's the in the mind of the Shays, they probably look at this like, hey, it'll be a one-year thing. It's going to be great. And do we have the money? Of course we do. We'll give him $500,000 next year. So he misses one. But it's infuriating. And now my 4th of July could be ruined.
Well, hopefully it's not. But
I will just tell you, I actually think this broke up a relationship, my passion for this. I have to look it up. One of the last years that Kobayashi was in, he had a reversal. You know what a reversal is?
No.
So you're stuffing the hot dogs. At the very end, you stuff as many in, and then you chipmunk. So your cheeks are out, chipmunk. I mean, everyone knows these terms, right, in the audience? You can't have a reversal at any point. And at the end, he started like spitting up a little bit, and some hot dog came out in buns. I loved Kobayashi. I wish he was my father. Sorry, Dad. I'll say at a family barbecue with a woman I dated like 15 years ago, I did freeze the picture on a big screen TV and it stayed up all day. Was that too much?
No.
I think it may have been the end. It took a couple of years, but she may have like looked back on it and gone, is this the right person? I love this sport. I have immense respect for it.
It's fantastic.
Yep.
As you know, I've dabbled in eating challenges, but
I mean, do we really have to get into this? Are you going to get me mad?
No, I'm not.
What you guys did.
I'm not trying to get into it.
I give you credit. You did 9 hot dogs in 9 innings. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Most people can't do more than like 4 in a sitting. That was a little longer sitting. It was more marathon eating than quick
eating.
Yes,
absolutely.
It's different. Let's not, you know.
Yeah, it's not speed at all. I don't consider myself an extreme athlete. It's fine. But I lost my train of thought.
I know.
Anyways,
we got a couple more details on this, and then I'm going to give you in the 5 o'clock hour what the solution is here and how ugly this could get. We're also going to break down the new odds. New odds are already out. Sammy P at 4:45 is going to break down the new odds. I've already got a favorite, but this is major controversy. We walk in today. No Caitlin Clark in the Olympics. No Chestnut on 4th of July. No Dan Hurley for the Lakers. It's Armageddon.
Now, back to Cofield and Company on ESPN, Las Vegas.
Caitlin Clark, who is not one of the top 12 to 15 WNBA players, did not make the Olympic team. But Christian Laettner wasn't one of the top 100 players in the NBA, and he made an Olympic team. Diana Taurasi is not one of the 15 best players in the women's game. She's making the team. Olympic basketball team, men's and women's, has always been subjective and very political at the end of the roster.
Man, what a topic, right? It just keeps delivering. Caitlin Clark, not on the Olympic team. You know, we were just melting down, I was, over Joey Chestnut not being in the hot dog eating contest over a contract squabble. We'll break down the odds later on because the odds are out. With him out of it, it's actually a bettable event. I know that perks up Danny Smythe, who's in as a company today. Griffin is here. Caitlin Clark and the Olympics coming up at 3:40. And Lakers tickets going out in less than 3 minutes. Mavs series plus 600. Down 2-0, going home. Kyrie Irving has played like crap. Sad part is the Celtics have played well, but not great. They actually haven't hit their stride, and Tatum hasn't gone off yet. Oh, boy. So what do? You want the series?
No, I actually took I took Celtics going into game one. Or, I'm sorry, going into game two. I took them -2.5 games.
-2.5 games, all right.
So 4-1.
Damn, so you're expecting a blowout.
I think
so. You can have the Mavs bounce back in game three and take it and still be okay.
Right.
But best for you is Celtics go down, play an awesome game, crush them, and you're up 3-0.
Exactly.
Safe sailing.
They let Mavericks maybe take game four and then close it out at home in front of their crowd.
If you're the Celtics, do you feel comfortable enough to go, you know what, let's save Porzingis? It's kind of risky. He's kind of gimpy. Or you just go for broke and go, yeah, whatever he gives us, he gives us.
I think you kind of have to not play him. Like, because you don't want to ruin him for the rest of his career.
I hadn't even thought of that. You're nice. I guess I'm not.
Like, I mean,
You're right. No, the organizations have to keep that. He is a big player for them, not, you know, literally and figuratively. And I mean, if he's hurt, if he's at risk that much, then of course you don't play him. You don't want to permanently injure the guy.
Yeah, and like we saw today, he came down with this injury, and I had to look up the words because science words are big for me. And
stuff. I know you're very intelligent, but it sometimes outside your scope.
It appears that his new injury is in the ankle, which, I mean, basketball is nonstop running and jumping. You literally can't save that area of your body when you're playing. So, no, don't risk it because it could be damaged long term.
Dr. Smythe, what happens when you have an injury and then you favor it? Right? You can injure
the other side.
You can injure something else. I think that's what happened to Giannis throughout the season. Achilles issues, and then it basically like went up the leg. He's got hammy issues. He's missing time left and right.
Mm-hmm.
Can they win without Porzingis?
Yes.
Exactly. I'm glad you answered quickly.
Yeah.
I thought Porzingis would actually be a liability going into the series if he wasn't 100%. So now he's back to not being 100%. So maybe you might have gotten him at like 90% for the first game and a half, and who knows from now.
And that's really all you needed. You got enough to be able to give you a comfortable lead in the series, and now don't risk him further injury. Let him sit, and Al Horford's good to go.
And frankly, until Kyrie Irving can prove that he can beat in one-on-one situations, Kyrie Irving, check that. Kyrie Irving can beat Jrue Holiday. And the numbers aren't that high, actually. I know head-to-head matchups, I think Irving is 2 of 8 when Jrue Holiday's covering him, but it's a tone that's being set. He can't turn the corner. He can't lift up and go over Jrue Holiday. So, like, mentally right now, they have such an advantage. And now, you know, now we're hearing about Luka being dinged up.
Yeah, he's, I mean.
And that's why you see him sometimes. It's like, hey, is he going to play day on this set or not? Is he going to run down the floor? Is he going to get back?
Well, there was a, somebody put a compilation video together of game one and two of his defensive plays. It's about a minute and a half long. And it's basically just him there, arms out, playing defense. If a guy takes 2 steps to his left or right, Doncic just lets him go and lets his defense take care of him.
364-1100, 364-1100, your chance to win Lakers tickets. It's for October. Exhibition game here in town against the Warriors, October 15th, T-Mobile Arena. Tickets are on sale now. This will go pretty quick. AXS.com, we've got a pair of tickets right now. We've got another pair in the 5 o'clock hour. But right now, Griffin will hook you up if you're caller 7. at 364-1100. On the way back, we talked about Kobayashi, one of the fallen victims of competitive eating, really never got paid the way he should have. Bottom line is, no matter what you do athletically, you get old. And then you got to look in the mirror and you go, you know what? I can't do what I used to do. Really, really rough moments this weekend for both Pat McAfee and Charles Barkley. Oh, Charles! Poor Charles.
Now, back to Cofield and Company in the Findlay Toyota studio, only on ESPN Las Vegas.
Well, a lot of hot-button topics that we'll get to. Hurley turning down the Lakers, Lakers fans, Lakers media flipping out. Is it a sign of the apocalypse and just how poorly run the Lakers are right now? Again, coming up in about 30 minutes, less than 10 minutes away from the initial discussion and reaction. A lot of people reacting to the women's basketball Olympic team. And the question out there is, what's the goal? Is it absolutely to win the gold? Is that the only goal? Is it to grow the game? I think another one, the Olympics are big for many reasons, but they wouldn't exist if TV didn't fall over itself paying massive rights fees. Should you also think about what works on TV? So we'll get to all that. You know, I was mentioning earlier, you guys are really big on soccer on the morning show. Danny Smythe is in with us from Tyler Bischoff's show. I didn't realize that TST was both a women's field and a men's field because I saw McAfee.
Correct.
But, well, this is kind of interesting. So the winning team had members or former members of the women's national team?
Yeah, the winning team had, I believe, two or three former players, and then they also had a few former players on their coaching staff as well.
Wow. So $1 million prize for the team?
$1 million split amongst their team, which is about, including coaches and everything, about 25 people.
So I wonder what that kind of money means to, so that would be, if I'm doing the math right, about 40,000.
Roughly.
Yep. I wonder what that means to former national team members, if it's chump change or it's pretty significant.
I mean, unless they're doing something in the broadcast area or if they're involved in coaching themselves, I would think it's pretty significant getting $40,000 for playing a weekend tournament.
Mm-hmm. By the way, there's the Aces play tonight. We'll get to Aces breakdown. I promise, stuff on the floor with women's basketball. We'll get to that in 5 o'clock hour. Commissioner's Cup's going on right now.
It is.
They lost a game.
Yep.
The Lynx are good. This is a big deal for them. It might not be a big deal for Asia Wilson and Kelsey Plum and some of the other women who are making, you know, really good money in terms of endorsements, but the middle and the end of the roster, you get $45,000 apiece for winning the Commissioner's Cup. That's a big deal. So be one of the angles on the 5 o'clock hour when we talk about some motivation. The other motivation is stop looking kind of ordinary at 5-4. I mentioned McAfee, because they built their show last end of last week around the event, and they were down there. It was, what, like Cary, North Carolina?
Mm-hmm.
We had talked about it on this show. It was kind of comparing different athletes. Like, some players can be pro in something and just, like, stink at hand-eye. Like, you know, ball, bat, tennis, whatever. I was impressed. I guess I shouldn't be shocked, because I guess he played pretty good level of soccer, but I thought McAfee looked good out there. I mean, he's a former kicker, so you assume he'd be good at soccer. I thought just trucking up and down the field, I was like J.J. Watt at 6'6", 300. Like,
yeah.
He was moving. He went up for a header against some, you know, goalie who was probably 100 pounds lighter than me, but my height, and looked like he killed him. But reality does strike when you're an older person.
Absolutely.
And you're out there trying to compete at 110%. Did you see what happened to McAfee?
I heard about it. I didn't see any footage, if there is any, but yeah.
He was hurting on TV yesterday. He said, and it's been reported and confirmed, he suffered a torn hip flexor. That does not sound fun.
No, that sounds like he might be having an appointment with a surgeon sometime soon. Sounds very painful.
How old do you think he is?
Let's go 43.
That's what I was going to say, 42.
42.
Vassy research crew is looking it up right now. That is, he's only 37. Holy crap.
Wow.
Okay, so maybe he's got a better chance of recovering a little quicker. So that's a humbling moment.
Yes.
That's a humbling moment. Because, no, because as, and I'm sure women athletes do this, and, you know, like, this is the way guys are, and I've mentioned this a billion times on this show. Guys are big liars, first of all. They will claim 20 or 30 years later, like, the level of athlete they were, and they're lying. Most times, right? Like, you weren't that good. You're not that athletic. We've had experiences here where we used to do the old guy triathlon, where, say, we had, like, some sort of baseball or softball activity, right? Or we even had a softball team for here for a little bit. And then you'd see people who were like, oh, yeah, I played baseball in high school. And they're out there and they're like, they throw the ball and you're like, your motion sucks. You did not play baseball. Or your swing blows. You can't run. Like, you didn't play. But, you know, that's for another day. But as even the Pat McAfees of the world, as you get older, like, you need to humble yourself. And how many times on this show have I addressed, like, people always chuckle at it when Shaq and Barkley start going at it. And then, you know, Shaq's like, I'm going to punch you in the face. Or Barkley will say, like, he's so mad at someone, he wanted to punch him in the face. All right, Chuck. And I always responded with, like, Charles, you can barely stand up. Like, he's lost weight, I think, on the Zemp. So, but he goes up and down. But he's also, like, you watch him walk and he's, like, all hunched over. Like, dude, who are you punching in the face? Who are you? Like, there's always this threat, like, I'm going to beat someone up. Like, you're 15 seconds and done.
I think it's one of those things where he's just a big fella, so he's trying to...
He's used to doing what he did when he was 20 years old, talk trash. Yeah. And a couple of times he did. He threw a guy through a plate glass window. You know, he got into a couple of fights. Like, when you're like 55, 58, you're 120 pounds overweight. Like, things change.
Yeah.
This is, Danny, this is... Okay, one... I saw a headline that said, you know, basically, fan harasses Barkley. Barkley held back. And then Barkley was quoted as saying, oh, I almost punched him in the face. This is the audio. We'll send out the video. This is the audio of an exchange where it's a Mavericks fan who's talking trash at Barkley.
The guy with no championship rings. He sucked at basketball. Zero rings. He has zero rings. You're Jordan's son. Imagine not winning an NBA championship.
It was the guy that has no championship rings that just won. Yeah, he has no rings.
So the guy, he's talking to another fan at the end because Barkley walks by him. Then he's like 40 feet away and he turns to say something. The person with him puts his arm around him and is like, don't bother.
Yeah.
And then we get headlines like, held back from punching him in the face. Chuck, all we hear about is you're going to punch someone in the face. Now, if you watch this video, the guy is probably 6'1", maybe 170.
Yeah, he's not big at all.
And that's the guy who talks about punching people in the face all the time? Dude, I'm telling you, it hits hard. Barkley's like, I can't do it. I can't move quick enough to punch this guy in the face. And I'm sure he also saw dollar signs like, I'm not going to punch a guy in the face.
Oh, yeah.
So, dude, stop.
No, pull a muscle trying to throw an arm.
Stop. And when Shaq says he's going to punch you in the face, he can. Do we believe Shaq can punch someone in the face if he wants to?
I'm sure he would.
Yeah. I'm sure he would.
It might take a lot, though.
A matter of could. And when you say you're going to fight people all the time, that's why if you watch, as much as I am annoyed by Draymond Green, like you see Draymond go on there because they've had a couple of clashes. And I think Draymond, when he goes on there, Draymond's like kind of laughing. And I'm like, you're not an imposing figure anymore.
I think it's that age factor.
It's hard to admit.
Yeah.
Whether you can fight or not, you can't do what you think you can do physically like you did 30 years ago. No one's going through a window anymore, Chuck.
No, and I'm sure
he knows that. He was like 5 feet away from him. He had zero fear.
Oh, they had practically brushed shoulders. But I think it's just Charles trying to use that intimidation factor because he knows deep down that he can't get into any scuffles anymore.
Well, it's dumb monetarily, and he can't. You're old, man. You're pushing 60 years old.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
We have Aces basketball coming up tonight at 7 o'clock, 6:30 with the pregame on ESPN Las Vegas. Danny from the morning show is in as a company today on Cofield and Company. We'll break down the Aces a little bit later on. Again, WNBA getting monster attention. generally Caitlin Clark related, and now it's with the Olympic team. And it came out over the weekend that she would not be on the roster. Now the feedback's coming from a lot of media people, basketball fans. Little bit of feedback from some of the people on the team and around the team. So give me your reaction. What do you think?
I was a little surprised. Actually, I'll change that. I was a lot surprised. I figure because of everything that we're seeing this year with teams moving to bigger arenas, and she was the biggest name coming out of college basketball this season, still is arguably the biggest name in WNBA. And I know she's not playing up to the ability that everyone, or I should say that most people want her and expect her to play.
Let's say expectations were a little bit rich, including myself, who said she averaged 22.5 points per game.
Me too. I took a bet that she would average over 19.5 points a game this year. So I thought she was going to be around that 20, 21, maybe 22 mark, but she hasn't been. I think she's still hovering around, 16, 17 area. I was surprised that they didn't want her on, especially with all of the eyes that she's getting.
She's not one of the 12 best players. I'm getting yelled at every day. It's fact. Not one of the best players.
No, but
what is this team supposed to be about? That's building. The question here.
Building.
Is it?
Yeah. Like I was
winning the gold. That's what some people are saying. Winning the gold. That's it.
Yeah. But they've also shown that they can really put anybody out there and they'll win gold.
Well, that's the first thing to address. Do they have the 12 best players on the team?
No.
Is Diana Taurasi right now one of the 12 best players in the NBA or WNBA?
No.
Okay. Well, so now we got inconsistencies right out of the gates.
I think
right now, health considerations, I don't know what it's going to be like in 2 months. I would have some worries about both Brittany Griner, who just came back. She's played in 2 games. She had a good game on Sunday. She had 24-9. She's also coming off a broken toe, fractured toe. Is Brittany Griner and Chelsea Gray in her current state, are they two of the 12 best players from the United States?
No, and those were...
three players now where you're like, eh.
Right, and those were two people that I questioned as well, especially, like, Brittany Griner played a game, broke her toe, just came back. Chelsea Gray hasn't played at all, so she hasn't played competitive basketball in 8 months. But they did. I saw a statement from one of the WNBA accounts. She expects to play in the WNBA before the Olympic break. Now, is that...
That seems cutting it close.
Is that one or two tune-up games and then they go on break? Or is she going to be coming back in 2 weeks and gets in almost a whole month?
Best 12 win the gold. That's the goal. Diana Taurasi, not one of the best 12. Griner, injury issues. Gray... injury issues. The other one here is, was there some need to honor the team that has been the best in the WNBA by taking four of their players? That seems like a different consideration as well. So you see what's happening here? Like, there's all these, like, there's people on the team who are like, wait, they didn't seem to follow the 12 best rule.
Right.
And then the next question is, how do you balance winning the gold, which they've won pretty handily now, 7 times in a row. The final of the last gold medal game against Japan was 90-75, which would suggest, well, that's not automatic. They're not winning by 50. It was, I think, the fourth quarter. Just, I remember these things. I looked it up. 19-15. So Japan came back a little bit. They were down 19 going to the fourth. Is there enough of a worry where you can't jerk around, especially with the end of the roster?
No.
I think there's also the thought, the end of this roster, outside of blowouts, probably won't play a whole lot. Are they going to go any deeper than 8 or 9? And are there people on the roster where you could go, you know what, the game would be served better by having some bigger names? Or is that an outrageous thought as well? There are a lot of people out there. I mean, Stephen A. was flipping out yesterday. There are a lot of people out there who are like, this is about winning, but also building your sport. Is it?
One of the things I would also argue is, like you just mentioned, players towards the end of the bench maybe not get as much minutes. If you're talking about the 12 best players in the WNBA, obviously Asia Wilson is at the top. And then you can argue that Agumba Wale, second best, at least as far as scoring this year. And then how much is actually separating those other 3 through 12? But in something like this, you could have your top 5, in quotes, play game 1 and use a couple members on the bench. And then in game 2, you could have your next best 5 and a couple members on the bench while your top 5, in quotes, get a little bit of rest. And you can do that throughout group play. And then once you get into the actual tournament, you get more minutes for the top.
The problem right now is trying to figure out what the goal is. And we'll hear from a member of the women's governing board on what she thinks the goal is. I thought it was pretty telling when Christine Brennan reported that there were worries about Caitlin Clark kind of outshining everyone off the floor and becoming a distraction. I don't know, man. That seems weird. These are professional athletes. You got to deal with stuff like this.